Good morning. Welcome. There are some faces who are familiar here. There are some faces who are visiting us again, who've been before. And there are some faces that are new. You are all welcome, whether you're here in the building or whether you're joining us online. Now, I don't know how you've come this morning. I don't know what it's been like for you since you've got up this morning, what you've thought about. But as a lead into our first hymn, Lamentations 3, 21 says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And let's stand and let's sing that hymn. And sing it to God's honour and God's glory, that he is a God whose mercies are renewed every morning, whose steadfast love never ends. Let's stand and sing. Now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. There is no children's talk this morning, so there's no children's talk, but after we've read this passage of God's word, James is going to come up and give us a little more on their work in Cyprus. But we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the last verse, verse 31, which is on page 959 if you have a chapel Bible. Chapter 12, verse 31 says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I become a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Thank you, James.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you all. I vividly realised that I wasn't in Cyprus this morning, because there's no way that we could only sing that opening hymn just once through. As soon as it's gone through the first and the second verse, we go back to the beginning again, and I was expecting to sing it all over again, and, well, I was disappointed. There we are. But it's good to be with you, and it's good to have an opportunity to share a little about the work. I'm doing this over three Sundays. So last Sunday, for those of you that are here in the evening, we spoke a little bit about the English-speaking side of the church, and this morning I wanted to speak a bit more about the Turkish side of the church. And those of you that get our prayer letters, which I think are most of you, you'll realise that in the last little while it's been a bit more encouraging on the Turkish side of the church. And some of that's because of new people that have been coming along. Now, you'll have to look sort of very carefully. But the guy there at the front who is leading that service, this was back at Christmas time, is someone who's new to us. Him and his wife, Turgay and Yilshen, lived all their lives in North London as what we'd affectionately call London Cypriots. And he came to faith quite some time ago in London and was serving as a London City missioner for some time. But he felt very much drawn to come back to Cyprus. He wanted to retire and share his faith with his fellow Cypriots and his friends and family. His wife wasn't quite so keen until the Lord worked, and they're both with us now. And it's really exciting to have them with us. And he's very passionate, as you'd imagine from someone from the London City Missioners, in sharing the gospel and equipping others to do that. This is our Easter service. And again, the guy that's leading that, Güven, is new to us in Cyprus. He and his wife moved from Turkey. His wife, Melika, is Cypriot, and they are now living in Cyprus, working in Cyprus, and part of the church. And there's a real enthusiasm and love for the church and love for God's people with them. And that's really encouraging there with it. This one's another picture from the Easter service, and that's Phil, who leads and heads up the Turkish side of the work, leading that service. Now, we're excited by these new people that have come, but you may have noticed from those pictures that previous times when we've had special meetings at Christmas time and Easter time, we've had a lot more people coming along. And so on the one hand, we've had the excitement of more people worshipping regularly with us, but when we've done these events, we've had less people with us. And it always seems that if you have one thing to encourage you on the one hand, you have something different to discourage you on the others. And reaching out to the Turkish Cypriot people has been difficult, and it is challenging. And part of that, I think, is because of their culture and just the way they are and what has happened in their past. And so we just really need stickability at this, because as you may recall from last Sunday evening, I was saying we have 98 members across the whole church, but there's only 12 of those in the Turkish speaking side of it, and of those 12, only two a pure Turkish Cypriot. Now, Rachel might correct me and say, well, there's more because Yilshen and Turgay are Turkish Cypriot, but they're London Turkish Cypriot. And as I say that, you may think, well, what's the difference? And in some ways, there is no difference, but within our Turkish service, with those 12 people that are in membership, there will be people that would be see themselves as Turkish Cypriot, people that see themselves as London Cypriot, people that would see themselves as the Syriani Turks, people that see themselves as Alevi Turks, and people that see themselves as Turk Turks. And immediately you're thinking, what is going on here? And in one hand, there's not anything going on, but on the other hand, there is. And there are all these different nationalities and all these different diversities, and just in the same way as with the English-speaking, with so many different nationalities, so many diversities, there is a potential for disunity. There is a potential for upset. And so please do pray that we as a church family, no matter what nationality or where we're from, we would have love for one another. And as we're going to be going on in God's word about love, part of the reason we spent quite a lot of time on that subject as a church in Cyprus was because love is the antidote to disunity. Love is the antidote to having breakups. Love is what draws us together as a church family. This is one of the ladies' meetings, and the lady here, that's Diane Abler, Phil's wife. This lady here, she actually came to profess faith after Turgay was preaching on that Sunday. And so we can be really excited to know that God's word is taking root, and as Turgay and others come, they're a blessing and a benefit to their own people and folk. And we just want to praise God and thank God for that. Alia is really struggling at the moment with her boys, Egemen and Yit, and and she would value your continued prayers as well. And I know that you've been praying for them, and do pray that as a whole family they would come to know the Lord as their Saviour. Last time I was here, I asked you to pray for three people particularly. Serpil, Emre, and Mustafa. And this was Mustafa is baptizing, and Emre a little while back. There's been no progress with them. That they are far from the Lord and far from the church at the moment. And that's a sadness. And so just as we have encouragement, we have discouragement. And so I'd ask you to continue to pray very much for them, that the Lord would either restore them or draw them back to himself. And Serpil, who's not in these pictures, we've seen quite a bit more of her in some ways recently, and her situation is that bit more encouraging. And so that the message is we're like a church, like you. Encouragements on one hand, discouragements on the other, and we really need the Lord to help us to continue to press on. And so our request is that you would continue to pray with us, that we would continue to press on, that we would continue to see the Lord at work, and that lives may be changed to his glory. Thank you, Martin.
Okay, thank you, James. Thank you for that. And we're going to sing our next song. Our next song, which is, He Gives More Grace When the Burdens Grow Greater. Each of us have our own troubles in life. Some of them are only known to us. Some of them we know. But we can bring them to God because he can give more grace when the burdens grow greater. He gives more strength when the labours increase. And there's a great chorus to this that we'll sing with the music. Let's stand as John leads us. Should we come to that great God in prayer? Let's bow our heads and our minds and our hearts. Almighty God, as we come to you in prayer, we pray that you would help us. We ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit to be amongst us as we meet to worship and to praise you. And we ask for his help now as we come to you in prayer. We're so thankful that you're a God whose powers have no boundary that we know. Lord, we think about the creation and we look at the creation round about us. As the trees come into leaf, the different colours of green that there are. As we look at the spring flowers, the contrast of the blues of the bluebells in the greens. Lord, as we think about the night sky when it's clear, and we think about the number of stars, and we know that you know each of them by name. You put each of the constellations in their position. Not one star has moved without your say-so. And that just shows us your greatness. It shows us your power. It shows us your majesty. It shows what a great mind you must have when we think of the number of stars, when we think of the different types of trees, of flowers, of animals. Lord, and you made and know each and every one of them. And as we think of your creation, Lord, we are your creation. And you know each of us. You know each of our lives. You know each of our circumstances. And again, we come and thank you because of your love, because of your grace, because of those infinite riches through Jesus. We thank you that even though we had turned against you, even though we had sinned, we had done things that disobeyed you, Lord, your love didn't just walk away. Your love and patience didn't just send a thunderbolt down with immediate judgment. Lord, in your love, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus. And in his love for us, he was willing to come. He was willing to live amongst his creation. He was willing to die on the cross. He was willing to bear the punishment so that we can call you Father, so that we can know that peace with you restored, so that we can have that relationship with you. Lord, so we can know your guidance in our life. Lord, we thank you for that love that has no measure. We thank you for that grace that there is no limit. Lord, what a sign of that, the death of your Son. And we pray that we would come with thankful hearts for what you've done for us. And we ask that if there are any are here who do not know you, who do not have peace with you, if there are any here who do not care, Lord, we ask that you would be merciful and gracious to them. We pray that you would help them to see the sin that one day will be judged. We ask that you would help them to see that you're a God who wants people to turn to you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in their lives. We ask that today, if it is your will, more souls will be added to your kingdom and your kingdom will grow. We thank you again that your grace has no limits, that your power has no boundary. We thank you for that infinite love when we think about our everyday circumstances. We thank you for where you tell us in your word to cast your care upon you, because you do care for us. And we pray that each of us, in our different needs, will be able to do that. We'll be able to bring life circumstances to you, asking for you to strengthen us, asking for you to give us peace, asking for you to help us as we weave our way through the troubles of life. But at the same time, we pray that you'd give us joy as we fill you with us, close to us, Lord, as we know you with us. Lord, we pray for Hillary, and we pray for Philip. We pray that you'd continue to be with them, continue to help them in their recovery. Lord, we pray for any who have stresses and strains that they can't share with anyone. We ask that you would be with them. Lord God, we ask that you would help us to commit our lives to you in everything we do. Lord, we don't know what this week is going to bring, but we pray that you would be with us. Lord God, we want to remember the upcoming Golf Day and Spring Bible Weekend. We pray that children would be coming to the Spring Bible Weekend. We ask that you would be amongst those who are leading it. We pray that as the seed is sown into their hearts, Lord, there will be another generation, Lord, that you are going to call to you, that will come, you are going to love, and they are going to come to you and ask you to be their saviour. We pray for the Golf Day. We ask for the men that are coming on that. We pray that you would speak to them, that they would need, that they would come to know that their need of a saviour. Lord God, we're so thankful that you are God who works in your way and in your time. We thank you for the work that's already happened amongst the children at Thrive and those who are older, up and rooted. And we pray that as your word is taught to them, Lord, that they would be established in your word and that their lives would be based on what they are taught. And we pray that for each of us. As we open your word and read it on a regular basis, we pray that we would be listening to you speak to us. And we pray that our lives would be changed by what you have to say to us. And we commit James to you as he brings your word to us this morning. Lord, you know what each of us need. And we pray that your word would go out with power. The Holy Spirit would apply it in a way that transforms and changes our life. Well, whether we're deaf and we hear it for the first time, Lord, whether we need bringing back, Lord, whether we need encouraging, or Lord, whether we are close to you and your word brings joy to us. We pray for any who are struggling spiritually. We ask that you would revive us, refresh us, and bring us close to you again. Lord, we want to commit to you the work in Cyprus. We pray that you'd be with the church there as James and Rachel are here. We ask that you would help the leadership of the church as they lead that work there. Lord, we've been updated this morning on the Turkish side of the work there, and we thank you for those people that you have brought along, those who are committed to wanting people to know about Jesus. And we ask that you would bless them together. But Lord, we pray that you would help the leadership as they bring the church together. We pray for a unity amongst both sides of the church, the English speaking and the Turkish side. Lord, but most of all, we ask that you would bring more Cypriot Turks, Lord, into contact with your gospel, that you'd bring them into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and the church would grow as people want to praise and want to love you. We ask that you would help us to support James and Rachel and the leadership there and the individual members with our prayers. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be in this work together. We commit to you the events of further afield in Ukraine and in the Middle East and Gaza and Israel. Lord God, we don't understand. Lord, we're thankful that we are not involved. We pray for believers on the ground in those countries. We pray for boys and girls and men and women who are not in the fighting but caught up in the fighting. Lord, we're just so thankful that when you decide to stop the fighting, it will stop. And Lord, we pray that you would bring an end to the death and the despicable ways of men in those situations. But we commit them into your hands and into your will. Lord God, again we ask that you would be with us as James brings your word to us. Make us good listeners, make us good hearers, and make us good responders, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our next song is carrying on the theme with love. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many, but his mercy is more. Let's stand and sing with the music.
Trumps. I imagine that many of you, like me, have played top trumps as a child, or maybe with your children. I had a friend who, and he would always entertain us when we played this game. I think the two sort of big sets when I was a child was some Star Wars ones and some cars. And he got really upset when he lost his favourite cards. And it was because his favourite card was of a car that was a Citroen, the one with the lights that moved, yeah? Now, it was not wonderful. It certainly wasn't the greatest, and it would never win at top trumps. And essentially, the Corinthians were doing the same kind of thing. They were putting way too much value on the wrong things. And in their worldview, in their mind's eye, spiritual gifts were all important. Now, a correct understanding of spiritual gifts is very important, and that's why Paul wrote chapters 12, 13, and 14 of this letter. And in 12, verse 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now, this is not going to be the subject of the sermon, but I want us to see from chapter 13 what Paul was telling the Corinthians is the most important, or what the top trump card is for them and for us. In verses 1 to 3 of this chapter, he sets out the essential nature of love and how it is more important than the spiritual gifts. "Although I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am a clanging cymbal." And so he was underlining this fact that love is far greater than spiritual gifts. And verses 4 to 8, there is, as I was saying last Sunday evening, a mirror, as it were, to check our love against. And we started that last Sunday, and God willing, next Sunday we will finish that off. And this Sunday morning kind of like stands alone in the middle. And I thought that would be useful because not everyone who's here on a Sunday morning gets to Sunday evenings. And so I didn't want you to miss out. I didn't want to cause problems there. And so the mirror of what love is all about, and we can check out against it. And verses 8 to 12, Paul outlines the limitations of spiritual gifts. But the big thing is this: the Corinthians as a church were in a mess because they were putting the emphasis in the wrong place. And the right place is the saving gift of love. And it's given to all believers, but the Corinthians were not practicing it. And as we saw last Sunday evening, and as you go through the book of Corinthians, there's just example after example after example of a church that's messed up in pain and hurting because there's a lack of love. But yet these Corinthians had their top trump. And their top trump was this spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts were taking their minds away from faith, hope, and love. And then this chapter 13 finishes with those words: "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Now you all know how top trump cards work, don't you? You all know that you have little categories. And there's four distinctive categories of gifts in this passage. And I want us to run through those to help us to see where the Corinthians were getting it wrong. And maybe we will see where we could be getting things wrong and how we should be getting things right. So the four categories we can see is the type of gift, the nature of the gift, who the gift is for, and the lasting nature of the gift. Now I just want to clarify something because I'm using some words here which I want us to sort of get our minds around, get clear in our heads as we look at these. And under the type of gifts, I'm going to talk about common gifts. And then that's gifts that everybody has. Everyone can enjoy these. These are from God for everyone to have. But then there's saving gifts. And saving gifts are the gifts that are for salvation. So common gifts, everyday life, for everyone to have. Saving gifts are just for salvation. And in the nature of the gift, there are some gifts that are limited. They're not for everybody. And some gifts are ordinary gifts, as I've said. That's the word I've used. And that's because it's ordinarily for all believers to have them. So some are limited. They're not for everybody. Or some people say they're extraordinary, but we'll just say limited today. And then there's ordinary for all believers to have. And so I want us to take the first top trump card, as it were. And this is the spiritual gifts of the Corinthians. And this is what they thought was so, so important. And as we look at this, we realize that spiritual gifts are common. Common in the sense that they're there for everybody. Now you might think, that's not right. How are spiritual gifts for everybody? Surely they're just for Christians. Now there are examples in the Old Testament of people who are not God's people demonstrating spiritual gifts. And there are a warning from Jesus in the New Testament, and particularly in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And he's speaking very clearly, and he's talking about the last day. He's talking about Judgment Day. And he says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so these spiritual gifts that the Corinthians thought were so, so important, and the thing, Jesus is actually saying, some people manifest them, and they don't even know the Lord. They say they do, but the Lord doesn't know them. Now Jesus didn't deny that they were not doing great things. The Holy Spirit must have given them the ability, but the tragedy is Jesus says to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. So they are common. The spiritual gifts are limited. And that is in the sense that not everyone has them. So we just said that everyone can have them, but not everyone has them. There's a limit to them. They're not for everyone or for every believer, but they can be for everybody. But the big deal is that spiritual gifts, and this is what the Corinthians were forgetting, were just momentarily. They're not there all the time. They're not there for life. Someone might manifest one day and then not have it the next day. And so they're just not lasting. They're not eternal. And Paul was wanting these people to realize that, look, spiritual gifts are an important part of church life, but there's something far, 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 far more important. And that's when he brings in faith, hope, and love. And so just thinking about those, faith, what do we see about faith? Well, faith, the type of that is saving. Faith is what we need for salvation. Faith is for, it's ordinary, a believer has to have faith. It's ordinary for believers to have faith. It is for believers, and it's for life. And then if we see hope, we realize that hope, again, is saving. It is not what saves us. Faith doesn't save us, hope doesn't save us, love doesn't save us, but it's what is brought together. It's the saving gift from God. It is for believers. It's ordinary in a believer's life. It's what you have as a believer. All of you that are believers here this morning, you will have faith, you will have hope, and you will have love. And again, it's lasting for life. But love is different. Love, of course, is saving. It is for us all as believers. But it's eternal. And Paul's big point is that faith, hope, and love are essential for salvation. They're essential for a Christian living a Christian life. They're not limited where, like the other gifts are, the spiritual gifts are. They're limited, that this is unlimited. And faith, hope, and love abide. But love is greater because there is something more about it. And we're going to come into this into more detail. You see, this is the bottom line. If you don't know faith and love and hope for yourself, you don't know God's saving grace. And so it doesn't matter how many spiritual gifts you have or what other top trump is the most important in your life. If you don't have the faith and the hope and the love that Paul is talking about here, you don't know what saving grace is. And so that's why Paul says in this verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And the original language helps us. Faith is a confidence and a reliance upon someone or something. Now, in the context here, it's not a someone or a something. It is God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. Hope is a word that we get confused with nowadays. Apparently, we're all going to hope that it's not going to be raining tomorrow. But we all probably know that it will be, don't we? But this is not the hope that is here. The hope that is referred to in this verse 13, the hope that is referred to in God's word time and time again from the original, it is an expectancy. It is something that is going to happen. It's not a maybe, like it's going to not rain tomorrow. It is a certainty. It's a certainty. It's a hope that is going to happen. And the love that is here is from the word agape. And it tells of a divine, God-inspired love in action. And then those of you that were here last Sunday, we opened that up a bit more when we were looking at that and realizing that love is an action. Jesus never said to his disciples, "I love you." He showed them he loved them. God, when he declares his love to the world, he doesn't just say, "I love you." For God so loved the world that he did what? There's an action. He sent his only begotten Son. And so for the rest of this morning, just sort of bringing this together, I want God's word to commentate. I want God's word to explain God's word. And this Trinity, these three words, faith, hope, and love, are referred to time and time again in the New Testament, in God's words. And so we have them here in Romans. In Romans chapter 5. And it reads this: "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." This is the same verse 13. Faith, hope, and love. And it's the Holy Spirit that's brought this about. And faith is the link between justification and grace. And they're big words. Well, grace isn't so big, but justification. What's going on here? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God is perfect. God is absolutely righteous. God is without sin. And we've all sinned. And because we've sinned, we've fallen short of God's standards. We can't go to God and speak to him because our sin gets in the way. And there needs to be something that gets us to being right with God. And as someone kindly said, justified is like this: just as if I'd never sinned. What Christ has done for us on the cross is taken our sin, so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin, he sees Christ's righteousness. And so before we have no peace with God, but because we've been justified, we have peace. How can we be justified? How can we own that for ourselves? By faith. Faith is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We have access to this grace. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve God's kindness. We don't deserve God's love. But grace is given to us through faith. And faith is a gift that is given to us. And this faith in Christ gives us a hope. It gives us a hope for the glory of God. Now, you might be hoping that it doesn't rain tomorrow. And if it doesn't, that'll be nice. You might be hoping that you have a great holiday. You might be hoping that you get a great promotion. You might be hoping that you get that car of your dreams or that young lady or young man of your dreams. You may be hoping you get that pay rise. You may be hoping your retirement is great. You may have lots of hopes in this world, but they come to an end. And the hope that's been talked about here is the hope of the glory of God. It is an eternal hope. It's a hope that transcends this world. It's a hope that puts the sufferings of this life into a context. It's not a magical remedy to get rid of sufferings. It's to help us understand that in these sufferings, we have a hope that goes on beyond them. And this hope doesn't put us to shame. One day, each of you here is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will be in heaven for eternity. You will have no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin. And all the sufferings of this world will be finished. And that hope will never be put to shame. And right now we can know this and we can hold this because of God's love. He sent his Son. But there's something amazing here in this verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts. Christian friend, this morning, the gift of love has been poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it's been given to us. And this enables us to rejoice in the glory of God. It enables us to overcome sufferings, to endure difficulties, to produce character. This love has made it all possible and we are being changed through it. And it's all through the Holy Spirit. And Paul is saying to the Corinthians, don't hang on to your secondary thing of the spiritual gifts. Look to love and hope and faith through the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 to 5, it reads like this. Let me see it there. It reads like this. We give thanks to God always for all of you. This is Paul praying for the people. And he says what he's praying for. He says, we're constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith. And labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. Faith, love and hope, there in verse 3. And it's interesting here, isn't it? Because whereas the faith and the love and the hope that we've seen there before is in saving, we see this here as this is an outworking of our salvation. If we have faith, then we will do works of faith. If we have this love, we will do labors of love. If we have hope, it will be steadfast. And these verses teach us that we have to act in faith and act in hope and act in love. That there's work for us as Christians to be done. And faith is something that we have to exercise at. There's so many of our young students who I think they want to become Greek Adonises. Yes, they feel that their physical body is of great importance to them. And the only way they can do something about that is if they exercise, if they go to the gym. And in going to the gym, they can get that body and that physique that they want. And the only way that you can build endurance to race or do a marathon or a trail run is by actively going out and training. The only way that your golf will get better is if you go out and train and play at it regularly. The only way you'll become a genius at Scrabble or Sudoku is if you keep on practicing at it. And friends, our faith is something that has to be worked at. And so often we pray and we ask God to give me more faith. But we don't go to the gym and work out. We expect God to sort of put fairy dust on us and give us faith. We need to be working at it. We need to be exercising it. Love is something that we have to work at too. That's why the descriptions earlier in this chapter are so important to us. That's why we have to look at that mirror and see if our love holds up to it. Are we being patient? Are we being kind? Are we long-suffering? And there's hope. You see, we so often in this Instagrammable day and age, we lose hope because of all the images that are put in front of us. And we're looking at the moment rather than to eternity. And friends, we have to work at this. We have to work at looking to eternity. We have to work at realizing that this world is not enough. Yes, there are great things within this world. Yes, there are things that we enjoy, but it's not enough. This world just leaves us empty. And we get satisfied with that emptiness. And we strive for more emptiness. And we think just a little bit more of it will. We have to work on holding this hope steadfastly. We are loved by God. We're loved by God. This is what this passage tells us. We're loved by God. Brothers loved by God. Christian friends, if you ever want to get yourself into a good setting for a day, yeah, in the morning, don't look in the mirror and say, I'm looking better today or I'm looking worse today. Look in that mirror and say to yourself, I am loved by God. Just think of that. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heavens and earth, He loves you. And He loves you so much that He sent His Son to pay the price for your sins. And then that love should motivate us and motivate our faith. We're to hold on to this hope steadfastly. We're loved. We are chosen. And we're not left to ourselves. This would be impossible. If this was just some TED talk, some motivational speak, I could go out there and we could forget about it. But it's not. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can have faith, love, and hope. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can work these things through. And Galatians says it exactly the same at the very beginning. For through the Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? By faith, we ourselves wait eagerly for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. And so it's the Holy Spirit that's at work. The Holy Spirit's work by faith. And what is going on here? By faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. In Cyprus, we have so many young people coming to us from a church background or a tradition that has been all about prosperity, all about health and wealth, all about their hope, not being in a hope of righteousness, but a hope in what we can get now, a hope in our best life now, a hope in the promotion now, a hope in getting the academic success that's going to give us what we want now. And friends, if that's what we're caught into, we've got it all wrong. Because the hope that we have is a hope of righteousness. It is an eternal hope. It is a hope that transcends this moment. It's a hope that takes us from now to eternity, whenever that might be. And it's possible through Christ Jesus. Now, there's a reference here to circumcision and uncircumcision. We can think, what's going on there? And the reference there is to say, basically, you do not earn your salvation. We don't work our salvation. We don't make ourselves right with God. It's what Christ has done for us. Our faith is only possible because of God's love to us. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts. Works don't count, but only faith. Faith in what? What is our faith in? Friends, if you say that you are a Christian now, Where is your faith in? Or to put it in a more startling way. Yes? This is the startling way. You died yesterday. Now the good news is you didn't, because you're all alive today. Yes, but just for the moment, you died yesterday. And you are there at the gateway of heaven. And whoever's there at the gateway of heaven says to you, why should I let you in? Why can you make heaven, as our African friends put it? Why should you be let into heaven? And the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are trusting in anything else, if you think that by being here is going to get you there, you've got it wrong. If you think by your reading God's word, or doing this, or doing that, you've got it wrong. The only way is through faith, and is faith in trusting in God's love, and his love that sent his only Son to pay the price for our sins. Nobody deserves to make heaven. But the reason we can make heaven is because of what Christ has done for us. No work on our account could make it. Only what Christ has done for us. And in Ephesians 3, Paul puts it like this to the Ephesians. He says, for this reason I bow on my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit of your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you're being rooted and grounded in love. And I think we can see that rooted and grounded is have hope in love. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasseth knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Again, this is Paul praying. He's praying for the Ephesians. He's telling the Ephesians right from the start that this is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and works that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that enables us to believe. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that enables us to hope. It's this faith that we are given that links us to Christ. It's this faith that enables us to be rooted and grounded in love. It's this faith that enables us to learn more of the love of Christ. And Paul is praying for these people that they would come to know more and more of the love of Christ. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is praying for those Ephesians. And this is what Paul was screaming out to and speaking to the Corinthians about. There in the middle of that chapter on spiritual gifts, there in the middle of a book to a church which is messed up, a church which has got sexual immoralities as problems and issues of relationships and issues of boasting and so much mess. And it's all because of a lack of love. He is calling them back to the basics. He's calling them back to the foundation of their truth, of their faith. The foundation of who they are in Christ. And so as we bring this together, we should be asking ourselves the question, as they were asking themselves the question. They're thinking, well, there's faith and there's hope and there's love and there's these three. But the greatest of these is love. And so spiritual gifts has been kicked into touch, as it were. And then that's been put on the sidelines. And what they have been reminded is they need to be saved. And then the question we should be all asking ourselves this morning is, are we saved? Do you know faith, hope, and love for yourself? Do you know it for yourself? And if we are knowing something of this for ourselves, we should be blown away by God's love. We should be amazed by God's love. We should just be so taken aback by the magnitude of God's love. Christian friends, do you delight in God's love? Do you think of God? You should be just letting it flow over you all the time. We desperately, desperately need God's love in our lives. But the problem is this. I think the problem is this. There's another top trump. For the Corinthians, it was spiritual gifts. But I want you to think now, right now, what is the top trump of your life? Can you honestly say that faith, hope, and love take first place in your life? Or is there something else vying for that? Is there something else getting in the way? We desperately need the Holy Spirit to show us what gets in the way. And then for some of you, you may be believers, you may be Christians, but your Christian walk is going wrong because there is something, someone, or whatever, that's taking the top position. And it's spoiling your relationship with God. And it's getting in the way of faith, hope, and love. And maybe you need to repent of putting other things before God. The Corinthians needed it, didn't they? The Corinthians had to repent of putting spiritual gifts ahead of faith, hope, and love. And do you need to? We need to demonstrate God's love in our lives by how we love. And that's why we're going to be going back to those verses in 4, 5, 6, and 7 the next Sunday evening. But are you demonstrating God's love in your lives? Or is the top trump where all your resource and all your time is going to it? You see, what is most important to you? What is the top trump of your life? Because if it's anything less than faith, hope, and love, as in God's saving grace, it's hopeless. You see, that top trump, as it were, that number one thing that has got hold of you, be you not knowing Christ for yourself or being a Christian, it is a barrier. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what is that top trump? And is it really worth it? What is stopping you from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? As wanting him as your Savior. What is that top trump? Now, it may not be a sin, because so often we say it's sin that stops us, yeah? It might be something, it might be your family, it might be your work, it might be some thoughts that you have in your head. It might be your bank balance. It might be your career. But whatever it is, if it's not faith, love, and hope, it is not everlasting. And it will leave you disappointed for eternity. And Christian friend, do you want to hang out and hold on to something that's going to disappoint you for eternity, rather than holding to and enjoying faith, hope, and love? Let's pray. Almighty God, we ask that you would help us in our lives to get the priority right. Forgive us when we put stuff in the place of you. Forgive us when we reject faith, hope, and love and hold on to something that essentially is hopeless. May your Holy Spirit work in power now and help us. Forgive us where we've gone wrong. And help us to go right. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. We're going to sing our last song in response. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. It is thy Saviour. Hear his word. Speak, Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, love thou me. Thank you. Almighty God, as we go our separate ways, we ask that we would know that grace to love you more. We thank you that your love is unending, and your love is unquenchable, and your love conquers all. In Jesus' name, amen.